Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Welcome to this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week we learn the secrets to being in business and living a great life without all of the stress. My name's Angela Council and I'm your stress and lifestyle mentor. This week I am joined by someone who's had a very interesting career. Her name's Jane Jackson. She's a career coach. She started in Hong Kong in PR and then she morphed into a fitness career. And we're going to find out a little bit more about this because she was sponsored by Nike after getting a silver medal in one of those Nike aerobic competitions. And I can remember those aerobic competitions, so we're going to talk more about that. And then after that, she moved into corporate training and now works with different people with their career changes. I also know that she has a few other little side businesses on the side that she does pearls and she also does colour styling. So she does a bit of everything. So we're going to find out a lot of stuff from Jane. So welcome to today's episode, Jane.
Thank you so much. Okay. It's nice to be reminded of all the things that I get into.
You've got to tell us about these aerobic competitions.
Oh, you're so embarrassing, honestly. This is back in the 1980s. You know, Jane Fonda,
yes,
and the fitness
very
craze,
well, and of course, Olivia Newton-John.
I know, that's right. And so I got very much into fitness, you know, in the 1980s because I always enjoyed fitness, but I started running and I was running marathons and I got into the fitness craze because I was in a corporate lifestyle initially, but then I'll talk about that a little bit later. But when I first had my children, I thought, what can I do that would be a good work-life balance for me? So I got into freelance fitness training, and this was the Jane Fonda era. So I trained to be a fitness instructor after enjoying lots of other people's fitness classes, and I loved it so much that it just grew. And I think the thing that I loved about it was the leotards and the g-strings and the sparkly outfits and the headbands and the wristbands. And it was, everything had to match. And honestly, it was really, really good fun because as a career, it was really more of a sideline career. It kept me fit. I love music. It was very dancey and I love dance and choreography as well. And so it's fantastic. In fact, I got so into it that when I moved, I've made lots of country moves, but I trained in London and then moved to Singapore. And when I was in Singapore, I got so into the fitness that I thought, oh, I'll enter this National Aerobics Championship that Nike was putting on. And I went in with the teams division, so there were three of us. There was another fitness instructor and another girl who actually was an Olympic gymnast. So she really put us through our paces, and it was into one-arm push-ups and all these amazing things that we do. And we ended up with the silver medal. We were beaten by three boys, but they were a lot stronger than we were, so they could leap through the air higher. So we got the silver medal, and the exciting thing was it ended up with a Nike sponsorship to promote total body conditioning across Singapore. And that was just the most amazing time in my life in the 1980s and the early 90s.
So I can remember those days. So I could just imagine you on stage, because I never competed, but I used to go to a lot and watch them all because I always wanted to be there. It's like, so take us from where you were, the aerobics queen in the 80s, to where you are now, because you work with people who really are changing their careers and changing their life quite often, and sometimes it can be a stressful time for them, and you guide them through that, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. Well, many who are making career changes or else transitioning into entrepreneurship or running their own businesses. But I mean, my background really, I mean, it started such a long, long time ago, Angela. And it was back in Hong Kong, because that's my home. I'm half Chinese, half English, and I grew up in Hong Kong, and I gained my degree from university in Minnesota in the States. And this degrees in design. However, when I graduated and went back to Hong Kong to work, I made a pivot because I realized that my design capabilities weren't as good as I thought. And so I went into public relations, which I really, really enjoyed working agency side. And then I moved from Hong Kong to London and started working client side for a company called United Biscuits in London in their PR department. And United Biscuits is very much like Arnott's here in Australia. They're very big. And so that involved quite a fair amount of in-house training as well as the public relations. And so I gained my training, corporate training experience on the job while working within PR for UB or United Biscuits in the UK. And then, you know, my sideline was the fitness and running marathons, as I'd mentioned. And when I ended up getting pregnant and having my daughter, I thought, I don't want to work full-time in corporate anymore. What could I do that would enable me to have the balance and the harmony that I wanted in my life, as well as having some fun and earning money? And so with that fitness craze, that's when I got into the fitness thing and ended up doing that several years in London before moving to Singapore. And we've already talked about the Nike National Aerobics Championship and everything that I did there. But then what was interesting was that fast forward a few years and I had some major, major changes in my life. And it was around about the age of 40. I went through a divorce, moved country to Sydney. And at that time, I thought I need to actually be supporting my girls and I needed to do more than just what I could earn through freelance fitness training. And so I went back into corporate training. And when I was doing my corporate training, and I focused a lot on confidence building and presentation skills, because that's something that I did very well. But then I was offered the opportunity to join a global outplacement company as a career coach. And I trained in their method while I was in Singapore. And it was all about people who had gone through a redundancy and what they needed to do in order to reinvent their careers or else go into entrepreneurship. And that's when I really found my sweet spot, because I've always loved helping people. And, you know, with the fitness, and when I was a fitness instructor, I was also a personal trainer. You work with people one-on-one and they want to make a change in their life and take control of their lives. And so as a career coach, I realized I can do even more with so many people, and it's really helping them getting back up on their feet again. And so with that one-on-one coaching, assisting people through a difficult time when they'd experienced a redundancy, I found very, very rewarding.
So do you believe, I mean, I know a lot of the time you work with people who have had redundancies, but people in businesses also change, don't they? Like they may start off in one business and it's just not quite working, or they haven't, as you said, got that sweet spot. Mm. And so then they change their business. But a lot of people will stay in the old business because that's technically what they do really, really well. And this is what I did for a long time, and I see this a lot in my industry of natural health, because technically, you know, they're great naturopaths or they're great massage therapists, but it's not their passion because they haven't found that right, the bit that just brings it all together. So in business, where do you see, you know, with what you do, where do you see that kind of all comes together?
Yeah, I think it all comes together if, now this is really important, I know I've discussed this with you before, it comes together when you're living and breathing your true values in your life. And sometimes we go into business because, as you say, you're good at something. And so you're a technician. And Michael Gerber, who wrote The E-Myth, talks about this in his book, is that most people go into business because they're good at doing something, whether it's, you know, providing a service or you know, they can create a product. But the problem is that they don't really know how to run the business, or they're doing it but the passion isn't there. And my firm belief is that you need to have the passion and you need to know your true direction, and it needs to be guided by your values. And so when you're at that intersection of passion and direction, that's your sweet spot.
And because, sorry, keep going.
No, well, so if someone's working in their business and they seem to have lost the joy, or they've lost the passion for it, there'll be a reason for it. It could be that maybe they don't have the work-life balance anymore. Maybe they're not earning enough money because they're not quite doing it right. They don't want to put the time and effort into it anymore, and it's just lost its spark. And more often than not, it's because they are not following their true values. And without the values to guide them, life is really quite meaningless. Life and work is meaningless.
And do you think that also sometimes when we go into business, we just copy what everybody else does because that's the way it's done?
Well, if there's a great demand for a certain business, then obviously, you know, there's money to be made there. But a lot of people don't have, you know, like their own spark of, okay, I'm going to create something completely different, like create a Facebook. A lot of people tend to not reinvent the wheel. They'll go into something else and think, okay, well, it worked for them. Maybe it'll work for me as well. And so I'll buy this business and see if I can run it. But that's the wrong reason to go into business.
Yeah,
I really
is,
believe
yeah.
you have to go into business because it's your reason for being. Deep down in your gut, you know this is what you were born to do. And I'm sure you must feel this as well, Angela. It's like when I'm working on my business and I'm a career coach, and my reason for being is that I want people to be able to identify their true passion and direction earlier on in their careers, rather than waiting, you know, for 10, 20, 25 years to truly find their passion. And for me, I want people to be able to enjoy every moment when they're working, because it doesn't feel like they're working then.
And that isn't that true? Yeah. So when you're really, and as you say, when you're passionate about what you do, you're just loving life.
Mm.
And you know, and even on the hard days when it's hard to get out of bed, because you've got that driving reason behind you, you'll get up and you'll do it anyway, because then the passion comes back. Because some days it's hard.
Yeah.
And particularly, I think, with women with their cycles, and some days aren't that great. It's like, okay. But when you've got that overriding vision and you're working within your values, you sometimes you'll just do things because you have to do it, but very quickly you'll actually flip back into why you're doing it.
Yeah. And also, you have to have the technical capability as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, some background in a particular business, or how to run a business, or in your area of expertise, of course, is very, very important, because you need to be seen as the expert in your field. So, for example, I'm a transition coach. It's career transition, but really guiding people through transitions is what I do. And having gone through multiple transitions and major ones in my life, whether it's been country moves, career moves, having children, experiencing death of, you know, close family members and friends, going through a divorce, rebuilding my life. Each of these things, they're massive transitions. And having gone through them, I really understand that anxiety and concern and fear that you can experience when you're going through a big change. And a lot of the people that I work with, that my career coaching clients, because they've gone through a redundancy, and when it comes to redundancy, it's a decision that was made that was not your choice. The company's restructuring, or they're downsizing, or, you know, an entire department is being offshored, and therefore roles are going. And so through no fault of their own, and many people are high performers, and yet their roles have been made redundant. And so then they're left to go off on their own to go and find a new role, and it can be really daunting. It doesn't matter whether you're a junior technician, or you're the managing director, or a CFO, you still go through that same concern and anxiety. And that's one of the things that I really thrive on assisting people through, is that transition phase, so that they can rebuild their self-confidence and find out what's most important to them in their lives and in their careers, so that they can move forward.
So what you just said, that self-confidence, because, I mean, I know many, many years ago when I worked in the Commonwealth Bank and they were doing a whole round of redundancies, there was two sides to it. It's like, oh, yeah, I'd like the redundancy because I get the money.
Mm.
But then there was the other side, well, no, I don't want to lose my job, because if they get rid of me, it means I'm not good enough. Because there isn't it? And because, you know, it's great to say, well, okay, because I know my husband got a redundancy a couple of years ago, and you know, yeah, we got this windfall of cash, which enabled us to pay off a house and all of that. But and there's also got to be the side that says, why me? Why was I the one who they got rid of, and they didn't get rid of the other person? So there's got to be a lot of self-confidence stuff going on inside. And I don't know if it's worse for men, because I know that my husband, you know, he didn't talk a lot about it. But because at that stage he was over 50, very hard for and he was a senior executive, and the role that he was in, there's very few of them in Australia, so, you know, his chances of getting another job similar was very, very difficult, and he gave himself 6 months, and he did actually go and find another role. He hasn't probably gone into his ideal role, but for him, you know, he had his reasons as to why he did it, and he's still there, and, you know, so, you know, he's serving his the purpose that he wants, not necessarily the purpose that I would want, but that's for him. But, you know, this self-confidence, because that's a real battering.
Oh, without a doubt. And as you say, I mean, what helps the blow is if you do have a decent redundancy package to tide you through that exploration process. Not everyone gets a good package when they leave. It does depend on how long they've been with the company. But you're absolutely right about that why me. People always think, why me? And I discuss this so often with the clients that I'm working with, because they say, you know, what did I do wrong? Why was I the one who was tapped on the shoulder? And it is really, really frightening. However, what they need to remember is that it is a business decision when it comes to redundancy, and businesses need to stay profitable. It's all about the costs and, you know, staying true to the shareholders. And people are a fallout. It's just a fact. This is what happens. And you know, to have large companies like the global outplacement company where I do a lot of coaching, Lee Hecht Harrison, they're in business because redundancies happen. Mm. And now in poor economic times, you know, when we went through the global financial crisis, and in 2000 when I first started career coaching, there was the Asian financial crisis, was that when I was in Singapore, and companies are downsizing. Of course, there will be redundancies. But even in good times when the economy is going well, then there are mergers and acquisitions. And when there's a merger, there's a doubling up of roles, mm-hmm. and then there will be redundancies again. So whether it's great time in the economy or a poor time in the economy, changes within organizations will happen, and good people will be tapped on the shoulder simply because, well, maybe we don't need two finance managers when there's been a merger. And so which one goes? And it's always hard to make that decision. And for the person who's delivering the news to the individual who's going to be leaving, that's very stressful for them as well. So the important thing for people going through a transition or a redundancy to remember is that their capability and their abilities as a professional have not changed because of the redundancy. They're still the same professional they've always been. They're just now in transition. And so if they knock that self-limiting belief off their shoulder, you know, that nasty green man who sits on the shoulder going, you're no good, ha ha, it was only you. That's not true. Just knock that off your shoulder and think, okay, I am good enough. I'm perfectly good at what I do. And one of the best things to do is when I work with my clients on revising their resumes, and we go through all these different exercises to uncover everything that they've done, plus identify what their key accomplishments have been, their tangible results of whether they had increased profits or saved time or saved money or streamlined processes or improved the situation and added value somehow in their role. Once we start to identify each one, and believe me, everybody's got accomplishments. Some people say, oh, Jane, I just did my job. I did my job well. But, you know, what have I accomplished? Once we start talking about it, we can always uncover tangible results out of them. And when we can add that in succinctly into their resumes, it ends up being a confidence-building exercise. One of my clients recently said to me, she said, just working on the resume has been confidence-building. Because then when she looked at it, she thought, wow, I'm really good.
I said, yeah, I employ me.
Exactly. That's what people say. Yes, I would hire me. And I'm thinking, well, and so they should. But it really is, you've got to understand who you are, what you've got to offer, what you really want to do, and what makes your heart sing. You know, all this heart singing and dancing in the moment's very big with me. I think it's really, really important.
It comes from those days of aerobics.
Yes, that's right. I know. I just love to dance. But honestly, enjoying what you do and knowing that you actually deliver results is such a rewarding thing. And that's what I want all my clients to tap into, you know, to know why they're here. You know, what is the career that's going to make them, you know, really the happiest? And it might not be a job. It might be setting up your own business, offering a great product or service to other people, and then also tapping into why are they doing it. If it's just about the money, It doesn't always work out.
No.
But if it's because it's really important to you and it's like your legacy, then even during the tough times and marketing a business, you know what it's like. We all know it's hard to market and grow a business. But during those tough times and you sit back and you think, I'm doing this because, and whatever it is, the values that you're fulfilling, that's what really keeps you going.
So what's your process that you take people through?
When it comes to career transition?
Yeah, well, yeah, just transition. You know, it's like, because I think we can apply this into business as well, because if you can get these steps under, you know, understand your values and I know all the other stuff that you do, I think you can actually apply that whether or not you're in business or you're in a job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Actually, I document all of this in my book, Navigating Career Crossroads. It's up for, very happy to tell you, Angela. It reached number one on Amazon Australia Careers. So I was thrilled. Yeah, it's really good. So Navigating Career Crossroads, basically what this is and the tagline is how to thrive when changing direction. What my process is usually individuals will come to me because they're stuck. Or else, you know, they've experienced a redundancy or they want to change jobs and they're not quite sure of what they do and they're very confused as to what the next steps might be. So basically I've created what I call my 7 Steps Careers Program and I take them through this process, which we can work as closely or as loosely depending on what the individual's needs are, and everyone is very different. But what I basically do is, first of all, first step is I go through how to confidently manage change, identify what might be holding you back, what the stresses are, where you're at this phase in your life, be it your relationships, your career, your money, your health, your physical environment, and how satisfied you are in each aspect of your life. Once you've done this life inventory, you know where you stand. But then I focus more on the career or the business side. And so then we think, okay, what are your career values? What is it that really drives you? And once you understand, then you start to feel a lot more confident. I take them through stress management techniques, a lot of mindfulness training, meditation and guided visualization as well. And I've got lots of free downloads on my website where you can just download them. And I've got them on my podcast too. And that just helps them to relax, because when you're relaxed and you manage your stress, you're going to feel a lot more confident. And then you can handle the changes and the tough stuff that gets thrown at you. Then once you've built your confidence, then I take them through how to assess what really makes them tick. And I've got a series of diagnostic exercises for them to go through to identify their skills and knowledge, their preferences, what motivates them, what demotivates them, what really gets them going and, you know, is exciting for them. And then once they know what they've got to offer, then how to go to market with it. And so if they're going to be looking for it, obviously you need your marketing materials. If it's your business, you need to have a bio and, you know, have good blurb about yourself on your website. If you're looking for a job, then obviously you need a very strong resume and online profile using LinkedIn. And so we go through resumes and cover letters and approach cover letters and marketing materials. And then once you've got that set and you're ready to launch, then we've got to make sure that their professional image is just right. And the professional image is not just online, it's physical as well. When you walk into a door, what do people see? Are you someone who's powerful, confident, warm, someone that you actually want to be in the presence of? And so then we go through all the 5 aspects of their professional image, which is their hidden image, what's deep down inside, their assumed image, what do people know about your reputation beforehand, your visual image, that's actually the easy bit, what to wear, okay, that's going to be appropriate, and then your experience image, what is it like to be in your presence? You know, how do you make me feel when I'm with you? That sort of thing. And then your proven image over time, whether you actually deliver what you promise, because that's very important. Once we've got all aspects of your professional image congruent, because if one aspect is out of sync, you're not authentic. And you don't want to pretend to be something that you're not. You've got to be really genuine for a business to work and also, you know, to really market yourself into the next role. Then if you're looking for a job, I go through job search strategies, and that's going to be how to leverage your network, expand the network to uncover hidden jobs. That's very important. How to best use the online job boards, how to work with recruiters. And I'm an ex-recruiter as well. I had my little stint in recruitment. It was too sales-focused for me. I am not a salesperson. I'm a relationship person. And so how to work with recruiters effectively, and also how to really leverage LinkedIn in order to be able to market your business or market yourself for another role. And I use LinkedIn a lot for my business. And what's so good is it helps to position me so that people know what I've got to offer without too much effort.
Yes, then after, I think we need to talk to you more about LinkedIn, but that might be another episode.
Yeah.
I know you're the LinkedIn queen.
Well, I don't know about the LinkedIn queen. I just like to leverage it a lot because it's such a valuable resource. But after the job search strategies, then, of course, it's how do you pitch yourself? How do you interview effectively? And so whether it's, you know, your business, you're going to be pitching, or we're always pitching all the time. And so how are you going to sell your business and sell the value of your business, or how are you going to sell yourself into a role so that they know that you are the right person for the job and you're fulfilling their need? That's the most important thing. And then finally, if you're transitioning into a new role, I talk about how to negotiate effectively so it's a win-win for you, and then the first 90 days, how to transition into a new role and develop strong working relationships right from the start. So when it comes to onboarding, it's really important to manage the relationships right from the beginning so that you can develop strong working relationships and then move forward in your career. So basically, that's my 7 steps process.
There is so much more that I want to ask you about a lot of those things, but we don't have time. So I'm definitely going to get you back, because, you know, I know that a lot of the time you're working with people who are transitioning in their careers, but there's so much in what you've just said that I think is so vital for business owners as well. You know, the pitching, the style, what you're trying to, you know, what the image you're trying to put across. It's just so important. I'm definitely going to get you back, and we're going to talk about a few more things as well as the LinkedIn stuff. So
fantastic. I'd love to, Angela.
Because there is so much there. I mean, we don't have time to go into everything, obviously, but there are a few things that you said that I really want to get a lot more information from you. So what's your biggest message that you want to share to people when they're moving through any type of transition? As you say, transition isn't just about your career or about your business. It's also transition in your life. What are your key messages around any type of transition?
Well, with any type of transition, I would say the first thing is that when you're going through a transition, you will really be, you'll have your confidence knocked, and because you're not going to be sure if you're going to be able to cope, because what happens is it's the fear of the unknown. I'm going through a change. Change is not predictable. So what you've got to do is understand what it is that really makes you tick, what makes you you, understand your personal values and what it is that drives you. If you know what's most important to yourself, you can use that as strength to draw upon as you go through any sort of change. And then know that when you're going through a transition, it's tough. There are going to be days when it feels like, oh, it's a roller coaster ride. There are days when you won't want to face it and you're going to want someone else to do it for you. There are other days when you think, well, actually, now the world's my oyster. I can make decisions moving forward. So believe in yourself and know that with a transition, there will be down days, there will be good days. However, it's a process that you go through, and there is always hope at the end. All you need to do is to set a plan. If you can set a plan yourself, that would be great. If not, reach out and ask for help. People think you're okay if you don't ask for help, and there's nothing wrong with reaching out and being a little bit vulnerable and say, hey, I can't do this on my own. Because we're all human. And I think that's one of the most important things, is when you're going through a transition, don't do it on your own. Find someone to guide you through, a trusted counselor or a good friend or a family member, people who build you up, not the naysayers, not the ones who drag you down. And we've all got people like that, okay, who don't make you feel so good. So let's find the positive ones who always see a way forward. I'm a firm believer in there is always a way.
There is, isn't there? There's always an answer.
Mm.
So how can our listeners find out more about you? Where can they get your book from and where can they learn more about what you do?
Okay, so there's my website, janejacksoncoach.com. And on that website, you'll be able to click on a link that says book that will take you to my book, Navigating Career Crossroads, or you can go directly to the landing page, which is navigatingcareercrossroads.com. If you type in on LinkedIn, Jane Jackson Career Coach, you will find me. I pop up absolutely everywhere. I have a podcast on iTunes called Jane Jackson Careers, and my Twitter and Instagram handles are Jane Career Coach. So you'll be able to find me all over the place.
I'll put all those links in the show notes in our on the website. So before you go, we've got a little surprise question for you.
Oh dear.
Oh, come on. After you've told me about the aerobic stuff.
Oh, here we go. Yes. Okay. What is it?
Who is your celebrity crush and why?
Oh, okay. Well, you're expecting me to say Jane Fonda. Okay. But to be honest, my celebrity crush is Oprah. And it's because she's gone through adversity. She's had so many, you know, just devastating experiences in her life. And yet she bounced back, recreated herself, you know, I mean, a black woman in America, in entertainment, becoming the phenomenal success by being herself. That's why she's my celebrity crush. She's just so authentic and she gives back. You know, it's not all about her.
Transition, isn't she? She knows how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, when it comes to, you know, her health and her weight and the fluctuation, she's always in transition, it seems. But definitely what she does is she has reinvented herself. She's looked adversity in the eye and thought, you know, you're not going to beat me. I'm going to make something of myself and I'm going to leave a legacy. And the number of people she's helped across the globe is and inspired as well is absolutely amazing. So she's the one, Angela.
She's the one. Yeah. I think she's the one for many people. I don't know if you've seen it. I think there's three videos. It's interviews that Oprah did with Byron Katie.
Yeah.
And Byron Katie was speaking to Oprah about her beliefs around money, her weight, and it was they'll be on the own OWN network. They're unbelievable videos because Oprah really opens up as to, you know, how she feels when people ask her for money. And do you know of Byron Katie? Mm-hmm. What Byron Katie does?
I've heard of Byron Katie, but I haven't seen the videos.
Yeah, so go and have a look at it because Oprah really is very, very, she opens up to her feelings and you get to see the real side of her. Mm. And as Byron Katie works her through those issues, you can actually see how she comes out at the end. They're unbelievable, these videos. I recommend it to anyone who's listening to us. Go and find those videos because you're really seeing deep inside of Oprah and that just you really get to really understand who she is and how she ticks.
Oh yeah, that would be fantastic because it's your beliefs about yourself.
Yeah.
And if you've got self-limiting beliefs, you will be held back. If you think, no, you know, I'm not going to let this hold me back, then there's nothing to stop you.
And that, yeah, it's totally true. But it's just that, and a lot of those limiting beliefs, they're just not conscious and you don't know them until you get deep in there and actually bring them out. Because it's one of, actually interesting as we're talking about that, because I made a quick video this morning for my community on that exact same, and I was talking about labels, but the labels we give ourselves and the beliefs that we have around those labels.
Mm.
You know, and how we, you know, how if we've got a belief around a certain label and if it's not a good belief, well, then we can actually hold ourselves back in business and in life. But that might be the topic for another podcast.
It would. I was going to say, because parents have a lot to answer for, you know, if they're labelling their children, you know, whether it's the naughty one or the clever one.
And sport. It's also society, you know, and, you know, what is your belief around what a business owner is? You know, because many of us grew up in a time when businesses were run by men, not by women. So does that hold us back as women? But as I said, that's another podcast, so we may need to discuss that another time.
Could talk to you for hours.
I'm definitely having you back. But I want to thank you for joining me today because it's been fantastic. Because the message you've got, I know that primarily you're working with people as they're transitioning, through corporate and out of business, out of jobs. But I can see this whole stuff really also works so well when we're in business, to get really clear on the type of business that you're running. And if your business isn't quite working for you and it's causing you stress, I truly suggest that you get Jane's book. It's a fantastic book, and work through those steps, because then you'll get really clear on the type of business that you do want. What's going to make you light up? Getting a business based on your values rather than what you're technically good at. Yeah, and it's still going to be there. You just have to find what Jane calls is that sweet spot.
The passion and direction, that intersection of passion and direction. That's what drives us.
Thank you for that. And if anyone's got any questions for Jane, or they've got any comments about this interview, please leave them on the page, which is www.angelacouncil.com. Love to get a conversation going on with what we've been talking about here today with Jane. And if you want to hear more of these interviews, just pop over to iTunes and just check out Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. While you're over there, leave me a 5-star rating, because I love those 5-star ratings. Subscribe and tell your friends about what the podcast is about, and share it around so we can get lots and lots of people learning how it is possible to be healthy, wealthy and wise in business. So until next week, from my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. I hope you enjoyed it. Why not pop over to my website, angelacouncil.com, and do your stress quiz to find out how stress is affecting you in your life. Looking forward to speaking to you again next week. Bye for now.